Welcome to the second podcast of Shortwave Weekly. I'm your host, Chris Freitas. Today, we're going to be talking about QSL cards and interacting with the shortwave radio stations, getting to know them better, and listener letter programs and all that stuff. That is all coming to you here on Shortwave Weekly, so keep it tuned to your iPod or streaming online. Alrighty, this is a really good opportunity to have a second episode of this podcast, and as I previously mentioned, we're going to be talking about corresponding with shortwave radio stations. Most of you may, it depends on how long you've been listening. If you've been listening for just a few months or a few years, you may have heard some listener letter programs on the air on shortwave, depending on which shortwave station you listen to, or stations that you listen to. For example, Radio Taiwan International has a listener letter program on Sundays, I believe. We Got Mail. And basically, they read listeners' letters and discuss topics that maybe shortwave listeners may have some questions to ask the on-air personalities, and so they'll respond to your letters. Now, some people, some letters normally, since they get tons and tons of letters from people all around the world, they don't necessarily get to every single one of them just in time, and it may actually take a while. But, lo and behold, if you keep listening in, you might actually hear your letter be read on the air. I've had my letters around the air several times from various stations, and there are even some stations in the past that will even, if you leave, like, contact information, phone number, or what have you, they might even schedule a phone interview. One such station that does that every now and then is Radio Canada International. They interview shortwave listeners. Now, you may be wondering, how in the world can I send letters to the shortwave stations? Well, one useful resource that I know you can get at your disposal is the Passport to World Band Radio. I'm not trying to be a salesman or anything, but it is a very useful source when you're looking for current up-to-date addresses and even email addresses, since it's kind of the trend nowadays, to send listener requests or send a QSL request and all these sort of things to these radio stations. One in particular, there's a section in the Passport to World Band Radio that has a complete listing of international broadcasters and their addresses and emails, even phone numbers, if you so will, that want to call them. If you want to save a little message on their voicemail, if you will. One other good source, if you don't want to dish out the $23 for the Passport to World Band Radio book, although I think you should probably get it, especially for the beginner listener, on a budget, you can, if you know the station name, use Google. Google is a good place. You can type the name of the station, and you'll find the station website. You can go to the website. Once you get to the website, go to look for something that says like contact us, send us a message, address, or about me page. Look for something like that, and certainly enough, there's going to be some information that will explain their mailing address, their email address, and you can correspond with them through email or snail mail or even by phone. Some of them nowadays are starting the Twitter trend, and you can probably find them on Twitter, and they might have more information on their website, or you can search on Twitter. Personally though, through my experience, I don't like Twitter, but if you want to get in contact with a broadcaster, I think it might be a good way if you're open to using those sort of social networking sites. Even Facebook themselves, there are several shortwave international broadcasters that are now starting to infiltrate Facebook. Or even programs related to the shortwave broadcaster. There's even a program from Radio Taiwan International, Instant Noodles. They have a Facebook group online, and I'm pretty surprised. I joined the group, and several other shortwave listeners have. There are even broadcasters also on shortwave that are on shortwave that are on Facebook. Andrew Ryan's one. Keith Perrone is another. If you don't know him, he does hosting for the Happy Station show that is broadcast on WRMI on 99.55 kilohertz. Or you can also find a podcast of that. But if you're on a budget, use Google. If you know the station name, just type it in Google. Google will find it, and then just go to an About Me page or contact information. It'll be somewhere on that site. If you know how to use the internet, you'll find it. If not, have someone that knows how to use it be able to find that information for you. And also, if you're not on a budget, or if you can't afford to get the book, get it. Get Passport to World Band Radio, or even the World TV Radio Handbook. I believe that's the name of it. I haven't been able to find it here in Memphis, but Passport to World Band Radio, they have it, Barnes & Noble and Bookstar. So I think it's a very good tool. It's helped me contact some shortwave stations I couldn't even find their email address for, or even their mailing address. So I would recommend to get that, but if you can't, just use Google. QSL cards. Some people may wonder, what in the world are those? Well, just to start off, QSL cards are sort of like a postcard. This postcard, on the front side of it, is sort of like a regular postcard, but maybe whatever is on the front may be something related to the station in some way. For example, let's say this is China Radio International. They send out QSL cards. On the front of these, we'll have something related towards China. Maybe if it were the Olympic Games at the time, maybe there'd be something related to the Olympics back from last year. If anybody collected QSL cards from last year that were related to the Olympics, or throughout the year they may have something, a monument or a national landmark, or maybe a pagoda of some sort. Those are what you would typically find. Something that is related to a historical, cultural, social matter that's within the country, or even sometimes it may just be a station logo or the picture of the station of a transmitter. Either way, it's somewhat related to the station or the country in which the station resides in. And on the back side of it, it has some information. And this is information that you would submit. And in order to get one of these QSL cards, you need to send what is called a reception report. And QSL actually stands as an old ham radio term, meaning we verify reception, or we acknowledge receipt. That means, typically, we heard you, and we gave you, and you heard us, so we are confirming that this is correct. And so, in order to send a reception report, your information should be correct. It has to be correct, because if it's not, then you're not going to get one of these if you're wanting to collect them. There's a lot of people that collect these things, and their sole purpose of shortwave listening is to collect these things. Maybe broadcasters get irritated with that. I wouldn't know, but honestly, though, I would think that QSL cards are a good way to figure out, hey, someone's listening to us. But some people may not just collect these solely to listen to the station per se. They may just want to build up their QSL collection. But I would like to collect QSL cards from every station I listen to, but I would also try to keep listening to these stations. But I'm going on a rant. Here's how you would form your reception report to get one of these QSL cards. You would need to tell the station what frequency you heard said station. Either it could be in kilohertz or megahertz, depending on what display your receiver is on. Most of them nowadays, at least in the United States, they're set on megahertz. There are some that still keep kilohertz in there, so just whatever receiver you have it on, just record the frequency on it. Or if you have an analog receiver, it's going to be pretty hard to figure that out. So, or the slide rule, that's what analog is. If you have an analog receiver, it's going to be hard to figure out what frequency is at. So just wait till, like, at certain points, the radio stations will announce what frequencies they're broadcasting on. And if it's close, with the frequency you hear, it's closest to where you have your dial set, just write that down, whatever station tells you what frequency they're broadcasting. You also would need to tell what time that you listen to the radio broadcast. And this is where it gets a bit confusing. Especially for the new listener, they might not know about Universal Coordinated Time, or UTC. Some people also refer to it as Greenwich Mean Time, or GMT. Basically, this is the world time. This is set in Greenwich, in the United Kingdom. It's the prime meridian, or 0 degrees longitude. And they set it at midnight, their time. In their time zone, starting from midnight to 11:59 p.m. or in GMT or UTC, it's in a 24-hour format, sort of like military time. So instead of 11:59 p.m., it's 23:59. And in order to figure this out, you have to figure it out within your own time zone. Here I live in Central Time Zone, so we're 6 hours ahead, I mean not ahead, behind UTC, so that's minus 6 hours. So in order to convert that, let's say it's midnight UTC, you subtract 6 hours, and then it'll be at 7 o'clock. Now, when daylight savings time ends in November, that switches to being, instead of 7 o'clock Central Time, it's going to be 6 o'clock. Because it's in the spring, you go ahead an hour, in the fall, you go back. So midnight UTC, it'll be 6 o'clock. So it'll be starting, some shows will be starting a little bit earlier than what they have been for throughout the summer. So that's something we have to deal with, not only in our lives, but also in our shortwave listening, is daylight savings time, and then trying to converting UTC. But you need to record the time in UTC, and a helpful resource for that to help you with on shortwave, you can tune into these frequencies at 2.5, 5, 10, 15, and 20 megahertz. They, at every minute, they'll announce the time in UTC, and this is from the time stations WWV and WWVH. WWV is located in Fort Collins, Colorado. WWVH, I believe that's located in Hawaii. But they'll tell the time in every minute. It'll say at the tone 0 hours, 0 minutes, coordinated universal time. And it'll be different for every other minute, like 0 hours, 1 minute, UTC. So that's a good way to find out exactly what time in UTC it is, and this helps figure out what time you heard it and what you can write down in your reception report. You also need to use the date. Now, keep in mind, it may be Saturday night right now in Memphis, but over in the United Kingdom, it's actually Sunday. So instead of recording your local day, you need to record what the day is over in Greenwich, which right now it would be Sunday, October 25th. And so you tell that into your reception report. You also need to give some details about the program that you heard. This will really help figure out exactly what you were listening to. Let's say you were listening to some news. Well, you need to write down you heard a news program and maybe give some information about what news did you hear, what particular stories stuck out. And then, depending on how long you listened to, then maybe whatever, maybe there was a song right afterwards. If they announce the name of the song, you need to put that in there. If you can't remember, just give as much information as you can. This would really help confirm your reception report. But so just give some details about the programs that you heard, some of the news items that you may have heard, what songs were played, who is the announcer, that sort of thing. Next thing you need to have is signal quality. And this is sort of threefold or fivefold, depending on how you use it. Some people use a SIMPO code, which is signal strength, interference, noise, propagation, and overall reception. Or you could also just use the SIO rating, which is signal strength, interference, and overall signal. Basically, what this is designed for is to figure out how strong the signal was or how weak it was. Was there interference? Was it the noise distorted? Or how well are these signals reaching your location? And you also kind of, it's basically sort of a review of how well you heard the signal. And that is very, that's probably the most important thing about this whole reception report, is how well did you hear it? Was it meant to be broadcast to the United States? Was it actually intended for some other area? If it was there any interference from other stations? So, and this could help figure out the station, okay, if there was interference from another station, maybe we need to change the frequencies later on in a year, or maybe right now. This helps them a lot. At least I believe it does. Next, you need to have some sort of comments about the programming that you heard. Did you like it? Did you not like it? What are some changes you would think could be made? And just give your honest opinion. This would really help out the broadcasters cater to their listeners, and maybe they'll get some feedback from, just figure out what their listeners want. So just include some comments. It's not necessarily necessary, but I think it's important to have some sort of comments about what you heard. And finally, you need to mention what kind of receiver and antenna that you use. Let's say I'm using my Eaton E5. I need to record that there, and I need to tell them what antenna I use. Now, typically, I would use my just regular telescoping antenna. I don't really have the knowledge and know-how to construct an outdoor antenna. That, and I'm renting a place, so I can't really necessarily construct some weird thing in the backyard and have people figure out where this came from. And so there's not necessarily space to construct the antenna. So I just use my telescoping antenna, and that's what I would tell them. And so you just need to, this also try to help figure out maybe why the signal wasn't so good may not necessarily be that the propagation is bad. It could be something with whatever radio that you're receiving, whatever radio you're using, because different radios have different quality, and so that's what they can figure out with that. Maybe not everybody's radio will work the same way. So once you have that information, you send it to the station, and hopefully you have got their address or email address to send this to. If you're sending it through the mail, some stations ask if you send them some stamps or IRCs. Now, these are pretty much near the point of being discontinued. I'm not even sure they're still using them at post offices. What an IRC is an international reply coupon. Basically, it's currency for anyone that want any particular station that wants to use this to get stamps. That's what it's for, an international reply coupon. So either some require one, some may require as many as five. But most likely, you might just want to send a couple stamps. Now, you don't necessarily have to, but it would be a good idea for some of these stations, because postage is a lot. Especially now with postage, especially now rising, especially here in the States, rising to so much. So it's costing a lot just to send a little card in the mail, so especially if it's going overseas. So it would help them a lot, and it would bring some goodwill to those stations. So just send them a couple of stamps, send them maybe a pack of the stamps or whatnot. Just send them some stamps or international reply coupon if you can get that. It'll help with the return postage. And you may ask, how long do these things take to get to your home? Well, that depends. Depends on where you write to. If you write to somewhere within the United States, maybe a station WWCR or WHBQ. Wait, that's not a right station. Well, it is a station, but it is not a shortwave station. That's a TV broadcaster. It's WBCQ. WBCQ, the planet in Monticello, Maine. WBCQ or WWCR, it'd probably take about a few weeks to get to your house if you're living in the States. However, if you're writing to somewhere like Radio Japan for a reception report, it may take a month, maybe longer, to get there. It took me forever to get a QSL card from Havana, Cuba. It took almost a year. I've managed to finally get it, but they'll take a while. So it depends on where you write to, how well they respond, or even also if your report's correct. And if it's not correct and you don't hear anything for a very long time, then more than likely your reception report is not correct. You may have to resend it again, or make sure it's up to date when you resend it, but tough luck. You'll just have to do it over again. But rarely, if you have the information correct, they should send it for you. That's basically the gist of how you can correspond with these shortwave broadcasters. And of course, if you want a listing of addresses, I would get the Passport of World Band Radio. Not only does it have information about shortwave stations, shortwave receivers, it has that address listing, and that will really, really help you out. Or you could just look on Google, find a station's website, and just look on their About Me page or their contact information, and they should have it, either email address or a postal address, something that'll help you out, maybe even phone numbers if you want to leave some comments. Well, last week we talked about Radio Prague. They've been talking about possibly ending their shortwave transmissions to everywhere to help cut some costs. And if you're interested in letting these people know that they, letting these people know if you want them to stay on the air, the best way you can get to do that is by corresponding with them. Let's send them a message. Let them know that you want them to continue doing their broadcast. I sent them an email last week, and I got a response within just a few days, and they were very polite with their message. They appreciated my concern, and they would continue. They would try to continue. They said it didn't really depend on them. It's depending on the Czech government, how much they allot them the money, and whatever budget they get. They had to figure out whether or not it would be enough to continue broadcasting on shortwave. But, of course, feedback is important. So, if you want to contact them, their address is Radio Prague. That's the first line. The second line, and since I can't pronounce his name, I'm going to spell it out. VinoHradska, and there's a little accent mark on top of that A. And the number 12 is followed by it. The third line is 12099 Prague 2. And the fourth line is Czech Republic. You can call them with area code +420 221 552 933, and you can email them at cr@radio.zcc, C being my name, Chris, C for Chris, Z for zebra. That's cr@radio.cz. You can also contact the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of the Czech Republic. Their email podatelna@mzv.cz. And that's how you would get in contact with Radio Prague, and hopefully they will continue to be on the air. They only have on the air about 15-30 minutes. It's a short amount of time, but it would be nice if they continue their broadcasting to everywhere, because this is not just the ending in North America, it's ending everywhere else. Even places where shortwave radio is thriving, still thriving, and just be a major blow to that. Well, this is about near the end of the podcast. I want to give a shout out to a few people. Keith Perrone, as I mentioned before, he does the Happy Station program. I want to shout out to him. Also want to shout out to Jonathan Murphy. Also want to shout out also to Terry Jones. I know her from school, and I answered her question on Facebook last episode. Also want to shout out to Qinglin Wu. He's a shortwave listener from China, and he had just mentioned that he had contacted the Voice of Malaysia and got a QSL card from them, and congratulations to that. Rocky Rubello, he had posted some information on the Facebook page about he has a picture where he's receiving these telefax signals, and he has the signal hooked up from his receiver to his laptop, and it's pretty, it shows like a picture of weather maps, and I thought that was awesome. You can look this up at the Facebook page Shortwave Weekly, just look that up, and it's really amazing. I was astounded to see that. But and if you want to join in the group, just look for us on Facebook. Our blog page is shortwaveweekly.blogspot.com, and you can leave comments and messages, and that's the place where our podcast is located if you want to download it straight from there. We're also on iTunes. Well, this is Chris Freitas, and I thank you all for downloading this podcast, listening to it, and next week we'll have, well, next week we may have a show. I will be leaving out of town Friday, either in the morning or in the afternoon. I'm going on a trip with a church group out to Arkansas for our fall retreat. It's during Halloween, so there's going to be lots of fun there. We'll see if I have a show next week or not. But I'll let you know via Facebook whether or not that will continue. But I'll try to be able to put a show on there for next week. Well, until then, thank you for listening, and 73.